CORE stands for City Outreach Through Renewal and Evangelism. So that's what we're about here in this church. We're going through a transition time. We have been for quite a couple of months at the moment, but we've got a new minister coming, Craig Cooney. Am I correct? Yeah. I better learn his name before he comes. It would be a bit embarrassing. So Craig and Becky. There we go. Yes. So Craig and Becky will be joining us in September. They're from both from the north, and Craig will be taking over here as minister of the church. So we're really looking forward to that, and just be praying, church. Pray for the transition. You know, it's going to be tough for Craig coming in to this church with a whole load of new faces, but it's going to be tough for us as a church. You know, we've been doing things our own way for a while, and that's been fine, but it takes time for each of us to get used to one another. So just pray for the transition. Pray that it runs smoothly, and let's really welcome them when they come here. Can we pass around the offering baskets? I don't think there's a small group on duty today, so if any staunch CORE volunteers would like to pass the baskets around, that would be much appreciated.
Thanks very much.
So if it's your first time here to CORE, please don't feel like you need to give. This is just for the family. So only announcements this morning are, firstly, we have a space down the back for kids. We don't have any Sunday school for the next couple of weeks. We're giving our teachers a break, a well-deserved break. So there is an area at the back for children. The only thing is, it's not supervised. So parents, please do keep an eye on your children. There's a space back there, but it's not supervised. Secondly, volunteers. Volunteers are needed. I know numbers are small this morning. It's usually the case with summer. But we desperately need people in CORE at the moment. And I know there are so many people here that do so much in CORE. But if you've been in CORE for a while, and if you feel like volunteering is something you could do, we have so many areas that you could help in. We have sound and PowerPoint down the back. We have the children's ministry. We have kids club. So there's loads of different areas where you could really help out. So if you're interested, talk to me afterwards, or think about it, or pray about it, all the rest. Lastly, Our triathletes, do we have any of them here this morning? No. Okay, well, Graham Jones is heading up a triathlon attempt. I think they're going to do it, but they're going to be doing a triathlon to raise money for Sulis, which is one of our ministries here. So if you would like to sponsor Graham, or John Lyons, I think, is doing it as well, isn't that right? And Antonia as well. So there are our three fitness gurus in the church. So if you'd like to sponsor them, have a chat with me, or if you see them, just talk to them. It would be really great to help those guys out. It's a swim, isn't it? 750-meter swim, a cycle, and a run. So it'd be great to support those guys. We might take a couple of minutes. Just introduce yourself to the person next to you, say hello, and then we'll come back in a few minutes.
Hey, Lisa. Have you been?
Hi, Tipo.
You're not relatives of Helen Shaw.
Yeah.
Okay, she's been talking about you. Am I?
Show from my hair, or what is it?
No, she's been talking about guests coming. I am speaking.
CIA.
Oh, I'm CIA. Oh. Am I on?
I think so.
I don't know how to turn you on.
Yeah.
I'm living at Helen's house at the moment.
Oh, you're living here? You're living in Helen's house.
All right, folks, if you resume your seats, please feel free to resume the conversations after the service. So we're going to ask, Liesl is going to come up to us this morning and going to speak to us. So for those of you who don't know Liesl, this is Liesl. Liesl works with Dublin City Mission, Christian Mission. Mm-hmm. I'm on a roll today. Dublin Christian Mission in town, and she's going to be sharing a bit about that. But let's just pray before Liesl speaks to us. Father God, I pray now, Lord God, for Liesl, Lord, would you just bless her, Lord God, and just that image of Jeremiah, Lord, where you put your words into his mouth, Lord God, and you said, eat. So, Lord, would you put your words into her mouth, Lord God? Lord, I pray just a blessing on her, Lord God, and Father, may we just have open ears as well, Lord God, this morning. In your name, amen.
Amen. Great. It's great to be able to share a bit with you. I always get excited when I get to share a little bit about what I do and why I do it and include you in the story. Now, most of you already have heard some stories and you're going, not again. Hopefully you will be encouraged by what I get to share with you. It's amazing being able to worship with such people that have a heart for the city, such people that have heart for others. I love coming in here because I get to see people every day or every week that have the same heart for the city but are doing different things throughout the city. I love that. I love our worship songs. It's amazing. Every time I hear songs about rain and God coming in the form of rain, I think of the hometown where I grew up in, and it's a semi-arid desert in Canada. Yes, semi-arid desert in Canada, and it's dry as anything in the summer. It hits 30 to 40 degrees most of the summer, and it does not rain. We have thunderstorms, lightning storms, and there is no rain. And people cry for rain. And I know what it's like for people to cry for rain. So whenever we sing those songs, I get these images of dryness where you're going, God, would you not just rain here, especially when the fires are coming? Especially when the fires are coming. I love singing about how great our God is, because our God is great. Our God does move. The same God that we read about all throughout the Bible is the exact same God. The same God that shook the mountains as he spoke is the same God as we worship today. My first experience in Dublin was probably not exactly the experience that I have now. My first experience coming to Dublin would be about 8-9 years ago. And when I first came in, I had no interest in the city. I was living in Switzerland and I was coming over, and we were going to go on a holiday. A friend and I were coming for a holiday in Ireland, and we thought, we don't really want to see Dublin. We were going to go out west for a few days. So I literally flew in, spent the night over in Delir Street, and then we walked down to Houston Station early the next morning, caught the train out, came back, stayed literally just the night, didn't walk anywhere because I had no interest in Dublin whatsoever at that time, and flew back. And that's how my first impression of Dublin was. I had no desire to be here, no heart for it. My heart was not broken for the city. My heart didn't see the city. A few years, about a year later or so, I'd gone back to college in Calgary in Canada, and I was still studying compassionate ministries. I was looking at working with at-risk young people and families. And following that, I had to do a four-month placement somewhere. And I thought, oh, sure, well, where will I do this? I'm sick of Calgary. Where will I go? And I remembered my time in Switzerland, my year and a half in Switzerland, and thought, the world is a small place. Where can I go? And I thought, oh, sure, well, what about Dublin? You know, why not there? And it still wasn't, my heart wasn't breaking for the city. But I began looking up online to see if God would open any doors to come to Dublin to do any kind of inner city work with kids and families. And I found the Dublin Christian Mission online. And there were things at that stage that really caught my eye. It caught my eye that they worked with kids in a Christian setting, that they outreached with Christian clubs, with Christian programming, that they wanted kids to know who Jesus is. But it also caught my eye that they cared about families. They cared about the very things about kids that had nothing to do or seemed like they have nothing to do with their spiritual lives. They care about their homework. They care about taking them camping. They care about all of these things. At that stage, at least in Canada, there was a huge divide between the social gospel and evangelism, and there was almost war going on between the two at that time. Do you just preach Jesus, or do you leave Jesus out and just provide the water that people need? Which one do you do? And I didn't agree with either of those, but I loved what the Dublin Christian Mission did. So I said to them, would you let me come for 4 months? Would you let me come and work with you for 4 months? And they said yes, whether they're foolish or wise, yet to tell. But they let me come for 4 months, and I joined them on camps during the summer for kids from around the area. I joined them for their outreaches with that. I began to hear their heart for the city. And 4 months in, my heart began to break for the city, because I saw what was really going on here. I got to see what was really happening in this city. I went back to Canada. I had no idea if I'd be coming back again or not coming back again. I knew my heart broke for the city, but I knew that coming back would be difficult, because it is a hard work. It's a lonely work. It's one where you are going to be fighting a spiritual battle constantly, never mind trying to get up the resources you need to be and to minister and to serve. Finally, God gave me a peace about coming back. So a year after I left, I came back to work full-time with Dublin Christian Mission, and that was 6 years ago. 6 years ago now this year. And continually God has broken my heart for the city, and I think it's so important to understand that as foreigners living here, this is the city that God should be breaking your heart for. And if he's breaking your heart for somewhere else, to be looking, where is he breaking your heart for? But God has broken my heart for this city. Nehemiah. I love this story of Nehemiah. We can put up the next one there. I love the story of Nehemiah, and often we look at it, look at Nehemiah in terms of leadership, and just amazing spiritual Christian leadership comes out of the story of Nehemiah. You can find Nehemiah in page 485 in your Bibles, and I want to look at just a little bit of what happens when somebody's heart breaks for their city. At this stage, the Israelites, they were all in exile. The Babylonians had captured them. They'd completely stormed the city, destroyed the city. And Nehemiah's out in exile with them. And he hears a report back. And he hears somebody and they cry out, you got to see the city, what's happened to our hometown. It's destroyed. There's nothing left of our hometown. It's like, it's gone. You wouldn't even recognize the place anymore. You wouldn't even recognize it if you saw it. And Nehemiah, his heart breaks for the city. The very start of it, it talks about how his heart breaks for the city completely. And he cries out. He cries out to God for the city. That's where he begins with. His heart breaks. He hears a report. His heart breaks. And he cries out to God. In Nehemiah 2, up in the next one there, we find that he makes plans to go and help the city. And he's so downcast in the way he looks that he says to the king, the king goes, what's wrong with you? And he says, why should my face not look so sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? He goes, why shouldn't I be sad? What's wrong with being sad? My city is destroyed. It lies in ruins. Quite a while ago, if we go to the next one there, about 184 years ago, there was a man whose heart broke for the city. Do you just want to pop on the next slide? Oh, and the next one. But that's from 1922. You're looking across the river there. We've got all sorts of wonderful photos in our archives. But 184 years ago, a man who'd set up the Glasgow City Mission came to Dublin to set up the Dublin Christian Mission as well. And he came in and his heart broke for the city. It's a very different Ireland than what is today. You know more than I do. I know from stories. You know from heritage. You know from your history of what Ireland was. But I know Ireland Ireland was a place of heartache and heartbreak, and poverty was a very real thing in the city at that time. This is still 100 years or so after your man came to Dublin to set up some kind of an outreach in the city to say, we need to reach the people of the city. And they began praying together, began meeting together, they began reaching out into the community, began sharing Jesus, began caring for people's needs. And that's what happened about that time there. You can see our building. There's a little circle around. And if you flip to the next slide, you'll see not much has changed with our building. Still the same building standing there. A lot has changed in regards to what we do at the Dublin Christian Mission. About 60 years ago, it was the medical mission in that building, Dublin City Mission. They amalgamated to become the Dublin Christian Mission. And at that stage, what they did is they were reaching out to the homeless in the community. They were doing a lot of medical stuff still, but they were reaching out with food, with clothes, evangelistic kind of services. And I still love running into people who say, I was saved in there in one of the meetings in that room, which is now our office. I was saved in those meetings there. Caring for the very practical needs. Sharing Jesus with their very lives, giving their lives up for people. It's an amazing heritage of people who have come in and served under the Dublin Christian Mission. But their hearts broke for the city. They did something about it. About within the last 60 years, I'm terrible with dates, by the way. That's why you're not getting any. Within the last 60 years sometime, the homeless ministry grew and we were able to acquire property on Pierce Street, and the Lighthouse homeless ministry began to shift over there, began to move over there, and the youth and community continued in the building here in Chancery Place, and that became the focus there, youth and community work. If we go on to the next one there. In case you're wondering, what in the world are we doing? What in the world are we doing? We work, the Lighthouse still does food, clothes, services, music, sharing. And they do that in Pierce Street still. They do it now. They've just opened up Monday night. So it's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday nights. Their challenges often include differences that are happening in the economy. We look at people and we may see them on the street and we just go, oh, well, there's somebody who's homeless. Oh, there's somebody who needs some food. But they see, you know, is it the Irish people that are coming in now? Or with the influx of people coming in, are they the migrant workers that are coming through? They get to deal with the Irish going, no, this is our homeless ministry, and the newcomers coming in saying, no, this is ours, and the rowels that come from that. They get to navigate those waters of going, how do we reach everyone who are coming to our doors? How do we get to navigate this new wave? As people are becoming homeless, are needing food more and more as the whole economy changes, they need to deal with the new demands being made on them of how do we serve more people who are in need of our services? How do we serve them better? And I know right now we're working on a development project which will expand the work of the Lighthouse, and it seems very timely now that the economy has taken a bit of a plummet recently. But the demand for serving the homeless and for caring for them and for loving them has increased. Over in Chancery Place, we still do the youth clubs there. Currently, we're still working in three areas. We work right across in the Markets area. We work with the St. Mickens Flats. We work in Ormond Square, all the way up to Kevin Barry. Occasionally, we'll get kids from Oliver Bond here. What's amazing about this is we work there, and then in Core, you work Oliver Bond, you work James's Street. We've got Liberty's Church up there, and then we begin working in Crumlin and Drimna again. It's like this big line going through the city of people reaching out into their communities in the name of Jesus. It's not just one part. It's not just us. It's a whole working together to reach this city. We're trying to fill in the blanks of where is there people needed. So we work Crumlin and Drimna. We work in Ballyfermot as well. We have area workers in each of these. And those area workers, they know the families. We provide Christian clubs for them, yes. We provide 10 Christian clubs from Monday to Friday. And we have 3 full-time youth and community workers and 1 part-time, one that's continued on for a couple of years with us. And now we have 4-year team members for this year. That's not a lot of staff members to serve over 300 kids a week. That's not a lot of staff members to provide clubs for them. But what I
love about what our youth workers do is they know the families. They reach into their homes. When there's trouble with the kids, we're the first ones they call and they say, would you not come sort it out? We get phone calls in the middle of the night going, I got kicked out of my house. What do I do? I get girls texting me at, 2 in the morning going, oh no, how late is too late to use the morning after pill? And I'm going, crap, wrong timing. But the kids know us. They know us as a safe place to come and talk to. Our workers know them. They've been working with them for over 10 years. They know them. They bring Jesus there. And as a result, we can go into their homes and share Bible studies with them. We can go into their home and share Jesus. And communities, families are coming together. We've started a church service once a month in the building there, which is fantastic. Mothers meet together during the week. And kids ages 4 through 18 come to clubs. We have 3 days of an after-school program as well, which has been running. It started with one kid knocking on the door saying, would you help me with my homework? And they brought friends, and now we have a busy day of 75 kids a day. And we're going, enough's enough. We don't recruit kids. We're not knocking on doors saying, here's a club, why don't you come along? The kids are bringing friends, and they bring friends not because we're amazing there. You can walk through our doors, and you're going to know it immediately. I mean, our building's fallen to bits. We don't have the highest technology. We don't have, the most organized clubs and the prettiest things. But they experience Jesus when they come through the doors. We have volunteers coming in from the Law Society going, there's a vibe about this place. There's something different. And we can say that is because you're encountering Jesus here. You're encountering the living God here. Our living God speaks to young people coming through the doors. Our living God speaks to families, to volunteers. He doesn't leave anyone unchanged when they come through our doors. We've been doing junior leader training, and this has been one of my favorite things because I get to be a part of it quite a bit. About 4 years ago, we began a junior leader training program, much like what Patty has been doing here. And we've worked with them, giving them skills, encouraging them in their faith, but giving them very practical skills to go on to leadership. Now, again, we're rejoicing over what God is doing, but there's a lot of heartache that comes from it as well. There's a lot of heartache because for all of the kids that you have coming in, you lose so many of them to their communities. You lose so many of them to their communities. You'll hear on the news, you'll hear about a murder here, a murder there. The next day, we get a kid coming into club going, that was my cousin, that was my brother. You hear stories of somebody being convicted, and I'm going, he was in our club. He was in our programs. The heartache that these families come through, we lose so many. For all the ones that we reach, we lose so many through the city, but it's worth it. Right now, we're in the middle of our summer camps. We run 9 weeks of summer camps down in Rathdrum. Imagine picking up the whole community here and taking it to a field in Wicklow. It's quite the sight, I have to say. At least we have flushing toilets now and 2 showers that mostly work. But the tents are an interesting place to bring a bunch of city kids down to. But again, they come down and they're surrounded by people who love and care for them for a week. They're surrounded by adults who aren't going to be cursing at them and shouting at them. They're not surrounded by adults who want the worst for them. They're surrounded by people who want to love them, who want to care for them, whose hearts break for them. And these are all non-professional people. It's primarily volunteers that come in and work alongside us. And it's really exciting. We're going to be getting into summer project as well, day camps in the city. Everything else kind of shuts down in the summer, and that's our busiest time coming in there. If we just go on to the next slide there, Jade. But what I love is you get to Nehemiah 3, and I'm so not a list person. If you go into Nehemiah 3 here, you're going to read lists of names of this person did this part of the wall and this person did that part of the wall. And I'm sure that I've read over Nehemiah 3 many times, and I've just kind of gone, ah, sure, well, that's a pointless chapter. But I've been really amazed this summer as I read through Nehemiah 3, how it goes through, now this specific person built this part of the wall. And this person built this part of the wall. And as Nehemiah, he gathers the troops, and this person built this side of the wall. Not only that, but he gets into specifics about who did what. And it says even like in Nehemiah 3, verse 12, it says, Shalom, son of Halohesh, ruler of the half-district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. It's a family business. It's a family business repairing the wall. It's not, okay, well, we got these builders in, we contracted them, and they got it sorted, and there you go. It's a family business where their hearts cried out for their city, and together they rebuilt the city. I love it. There's this one guy, and I'm terrible with names. Maybe that's why I keep skipping over them. But it talks about how he zealously repaired another section from the angle of the entrance to the house of, I can't say that, the high priest guy. And it goes on to say who did next. But he zealously did, and it gives these people life. They aren't just names, they're not just numbers. They're very specific people that help to rebuild this city. To help to rebuild the city. And God used them in mighty ways to rebuild their city. And what I absolutely love about being a part of CORE here is that there are so many people in here that are rebuilding the city. I mean, with the CORE Kids Club on a Saturday with Patty, working away at that, and all the people that come alongside him there, he's working on one part of rebuilding the city to what God intended it to be. Those doing prison ministry, they're doing something that nobody else can do. They're building that wall of the city. Those who are coming in and sharing in morning services, who are worshiping, they're starting to rebuild the city. They're taking their part to rebuild the city. Everybody has a part to play. It's not the Dublin Christian Mission that's rebuilding the city. It's not just CORE Church that's building the city. We're working with other Christians in this city to rebuild the city of Dublin to what God intended it for it to be. And we read in Revelation about the new Jerusalem that God wants to build. His city that he built, his plans, his purposes for it. And that city is characterized by celebration in the streets. It's a place of refuge. It's a place of safety. It's a place of health and wholeness in a physical as well as a spiritual sense. That is the city that God wants to build. And he uses his people all over the place to rebuild the city, to build up the walls, to encourage each other, to work together. Multiple families begin to rebuild the walls of the city. We are a part of that rebuilding of this city of Dublin. Nehemiah 4, if we go into the next one, the funny thing is they're all excited. It's been great. They're all encouraged. And then suddenly we get into opposition. The first opposition that comes says, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" And the very first thing up there, I realize it's quite small. It says, the city is too far gone. You have the nerve to think that you can bring something back that is so dead. And I think of the opposition that they faced and the opposition that we face. And we hear the same things. Do you honestly think that you're going to make a difference? Do you not see the city? It's going into more ruins than it was before. You know, it's crashing. The city is crashing around you. And you think that you're going to do something about it? You think that by helping one day a week, you're going to actually help rebuild the city? You've got to be joking me. This place is in bits. There's no way. You can't do it. It's so dead. The second thing that comes right after that in verse 3 and says, Tobiah the Ammonite, who is at his side, said, "What they are building, even if a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their walls of stone." Like, are you kidding me? These aren't builders. You aren't a builder. You think you know what you're doing? As soon as something comes, it's going to come crashing to the ground anyway. So why bother? You haven't a notion. And the idea is, yeah, you're not a professional. Even if you do something to help, it'll all fall to pieces. And I know that for our volunteers coming in that help, this is one that Satan uses so much against them of, what do you think you can do? You've never been on drugs. You grew up in a nice home. You know, you've never seen violence on your doorstep. What do you think you've got to say? What do you think you've got to speak into somebody's life? Well, let me tell you something. Jesus never did drugs. Jesus didn't come from a bad home. He had everything to say. He had everything to say. Because our God is a healer. Our God is a worker. And he calls his people to work together. It's not just about somebody else doing it. It's about us, that he encourages us, inspires us, and says, I want you to rebuild these walls. I want you to rebuild these walls. It's funny, the next bit of discouragement comes from within. It's not an outward one, somebody saying it to you. It's from within, it's your own doubts. In verse 10, it says, "Meanwhile, the people of Judah said, 'The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall.'" I wonder sometimes if you've been involved in giving and sharing of your life, whether it's with individual people. Remember, these people who came to rebuild the wall, they had their own lives. They had their own families. It's not like their lives stopped just when they rebuilt the walls. Their lives kept going. Their lives kept going. And I wonder if they didn't. We know that they were concerned about that. We know that they were thinking, like, we're so tired. We're so tired of trying to rebuild this city. We're so tired of it. It doesn't even seem like we're making a difference. It's not other people giving those notions anymore. It's them themselves saying, I'm so tired. I've tried. I've fought this fight. I've been involved for how many years now? All those kids that I spent all those years, all those families, my neighbors that I've reached out to, and it seems like it's for nothing. It seems like for nothing. Because the kid who experienced God's grace last summer can't remember who God is anymore. It seems like it's for nothing. Why bother keeping on going? Why bother rebuilding this city? And if that wasn't bad enough, and I'm amazed at how these come in succession. It's like a nail getting hammered home. And the final hit comes in kind of verse 11. It says, "Also our enemies said, 'Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them, and we will kill them and put an end to their work.'" That you begin to wonder that, you know, and you hear it from the devil going, don't give more. Don't give more, because not only will your work be destroyed, because, you know, I am the father of lies, I am the destroyer, I will come and destroy what you've done, but not only that, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to destroy your family. I'm going to destroy everything you've ever worked for. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to zap you of all your joy and all your energy. I'm going to zap you of all hope for the future, and I'm going to tear down your walls, and you're going to be left with nothing. So don't give your energy. I don't know about you guys, but I've experienced all these lies probably multiple times a day. But these are things that come up in opposition to building the city, to building the walls. And I really felt when I was coming, and I knew I was going to be speaking, and I knew I was going to be speaking a bit about DCM, and I knew I was going to be speaking into CORE, and I know that there's people that give and give and give, and God just kept giving me more and more things from Nehemiah, and he stopped me here at the opposition of going, these are the lies you're going to hear when you're doing something good, when all your strength is gone, and you're going to hear these lies into your life saying, quit, stop building. Take a break. You need a holiday. If you don't, you're going to be destroyed along with everything else. But Nehemiah comes back to them. If we just go to the next one there, Jade. And he says, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. He is great and awesome. The songs we sing, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. The Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of these lies that come to destroy. Don't be afraid of anybody who says you can't do it, of the grants that don't come through for your programs, of the people who say, no, you can't visit here, of anyone who says you cannot do this. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Our Lord is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your homes. It's an active thing. It's an active thing. So not only are they building now, they're fighting. They're fighting. They're building and they're fighting. And when you think of it, you may go, well, the people, anybody beyond my household, they're not my mothers, my brothers. But I've been completely impressed as I've been able to work alongside a lot of our kids now for the last 6 years. that we become spiritual mothers and daughters and fathers and brothers and aunties and uncles. We become these things to the people around us. They are our family. I can't say, you know, they're part of my bloodline. I've got absolutely zero Irish blood in me. I can't say that. I can't say they're my cousins, but I can say spiritually they are my daughters, my sons, my mothers, my fathers, and I can fight for them. God is calling us to fight for our people, for his people, to work alongside him, to rebuild the city to what he wants. And Nehemiah 4 continues on. If we go on to the next slide there, Nehemiah 4 continues, and they start building again. Opposition came, they shut it down and says, stop it. We need to keep going. And they began to build again. In Nehemiah 4, verse 17 to 18, it says, those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. So the families continue to build. And I always got this picture, this image of my mind. They've got one hand building. They've got one hand building. And they've got the other ready to fight. Building a city is not enough. Encouraging, inspiring, breathing life into dead places is not enough. Because otherwise, all of those lies, everything else, will come against you and you'll be destroyed by it. And you will be. You need to stand ready to fight with the other hand. And our ways of fighting may not be against men. You know, it says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against like the principalities. It's about the other things. And what are we told to put on? We're told on to put on the armor of God as our weaponry. We're not going to all walk around with big massive swords down there, but we can carry the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth. Remember truth. Over the past couple of months, we've been talking about transformation. I loved Sean's talks on the transformation of your mind and staying connected to God, letting him grow you, work on you. The belt of truth. Who are you? Go to God. Seek him. Find him. That is the belt of truth. That's going to help you stay strong as you build. The breastplate of righteousness. Staying righteous. A holy life. God calls us to a holy life. God calls us to a holy life. And last week, Psalm talked about what do you do with your sins and your failures, and how do you deal with those things. We're not talking about a segmented gospel here where we speak about one thing one day and another thing another week and they're all disjointed. We're speaking about one gospel of what God wants for us, dealing with those things so that we can wear a breastplate of righteousness, so that as we build, we are kept safe and we can keep building the walls. That our feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We want to bring peace, not war, not destruction. You just need to look at the newspapers and realize there's enough of that. Come in peace. Come with peace. The shield of faith. It'll take a shield of faith so that you can, you know, so it deflects all the arrows of the fiery, what is it, the fiery arrows of the enemy, you know, the lies that come against us. Use your faith. Stand firm as you are building. Faith, you're going to need it. You're going to need it. At the helmet of salvation, don't forget you are saved. If you have come to Jesus, you have said, I need you. You need to be Lord of my life because I can't do this alone. And yeah, God, forgive me. I want to be in your presence. This helmet of salvation, knowing that the most precious thing that you have, your head. I mean, we wear helmets. Some people wear helmets when they cycle places. Your head is so important. The helmet of salvation. Don't forget you are saved. Let your mind be renewed by the power of God. And the sword of the Spirit. Our God is a mighty God. It's not us. I mean, we read, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. It's not about how hard we fight, how much we do, what amazing kind of things we can offer. It's about our God and what he wants to do in the lives of people. And so we stand there with our armor of God, and Nehemiah says, pray, pray, pray. He says, pray about this, pray about that, pray about everything. Pray, because it's not our wall to rebuild. To reach out to the city of Dublin is not for us to do. It's not our passion. It's not our goal. It's our God's goal. Our God, whose name is love. Our God, whose name is compassion. Our God, whose name is healing and restoration and reconciliation. It's his aim. It's his dream. It's his dream that he's worked on in our lives, or he's built us up, he's encouraged us, he's inspired us, and he said, I want you building my wall. It's his dream. So pray to him, our God, who can do everything. He can do so much more than we could ask or imagine. Those are the things that have really been on my heart. And as we're in the middle of our camp season now, I realize that these are things that are very poignant to the work of the Dublin Christian Mission because it's a tiring time. We've done 5 weeks already, four to go. The biggest camp goes down today in a field that normally houses 20 to 30 campers and about 20 to 30 leaders. They're going to have about 100 campers and about 40 leaders. Go figure. Yeah, four toilets. Enjoy. But it's our biggest camp going down there. And I know that in CORE there's going to be changes. There are changes. People are navigating, feeling overwhelmed maybe by the burdens, going, we need people to come alongside and help us. Stand building the wall, but don't forget your armor. Don't forget that you're fighting as well. Don't just go off and fight. Build too. It's a two-way street. It's not one. You're building and you're fighting both at the same time. Be encouraged by that. Be inspired by that, and know that our God fights for us. There's a last video I'd like to show, but just before it starts, just a bit of background behind it. It is from our summer camps last year. Some of the pictures of that, and different volunteers involved, some information about it. But the song that we're using on here came from one of our young men. He was 18 last summer, 19 this summer, who had grown up through the clubs. And as we were heading to the hospital one night to emergency, one of our lads sliced his hand, so away we go at about midnight to the hospital. And he comes in, he sits down, and he goes, right, do you have this song on your iPod? And I'm going, yeah, I do. Go ahead, put it on. And he just sticks it on repeat all the way from camp to Loughlinstown to the hospital there. You know, I really can't complain when our kids want to put on God of the City on repeat, or they say you don't have enough worship songs on your iPod. I can't complain. So it comes from one of our young people who says, this is who our God is. God is doing something. He is working. It's not in vain. It's not for nothing. Be encouraged. Be encouraged by these words in this song. Maybe. If there's sound. 1 minute. You can have a preview anyway. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks a million for that, Liesl. It was great. Isn't it just amazing how God uses us? You know, the Bible describes us as co-laborers, so we're working with God. What an amazing God we have that he includes us in the work that he's doing. You know, the Bible also says that we're co-laborers, but we're ambassadors as well. So everywhere we go, we represent the kingdom of God. So, you know, for many of us, it can seem like, well, you know, I do my normal job, or I have a family. You know, what can I do? But you are the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in you. That's what the Bible says. So everywhere you go, in everything you do, you are an ambassador and a co-laborer with God in bringing the kingdom. Amen. Mark, could you come back up, please? We might have one more song. Just stand with me and let's pray. Father God, we worship you, Lord, because your kingdom is unlike any of this world. Jesus said himself, my kingdom is not of this world. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, it's a kingdom that gives of itself, that sacrifices itself for the benefit of others. And Lord, so in contrast to this kingdom of the world, Lord God, where we've seen ourselves, how quickly and how fleeting the dreams of this world can go when it's based on money, or based on power, based on things that are temporary, Lord. But your kingdom, Lord God, will not be shaken, Lord. Your kingdom will not be broken. The economy of heaven does not fail. So, Father God, just as Liesl spoke about, Lord God, would you equip your people, Lord God? Father, first of all, speak truth to us, Lord God, that belt of truth, Lord God. May we know who we are. May we know who we are, Lord, that we've been called by your name to be co-laborers in your kingdom building, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray now, Lord God, for just that equipping right now, Lord God, just even mentally, just using that image, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the good news, the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that we would wear that, wear it like we own it, Lord, and we do own it. Father, we pray as well for our city, Lord God. And indeed, Lord God, for this nation, Lord God. Father, you are the hope, Lord God, of this nation. You are the hope of this city, Lord. And you've put that hope in us, Lord Jesus. We are carriers of that hope, Lord. So wherever we are, Lord God, whether in work or outside of work or whatever, Lord, it's not about doing, it's about being. It's about who we are and then working out of that. So Father, would you bless us this week, Lord? We just lift up the DCM camp as well that's taking place this week, Lord God. We lift it up, Lord. And Father, I pray for those numbers, Lord God, that seem overwhelming, Lord God. But Lord, they have you on their side, Lord. And Father, I pray for an outpouring of your Spirit on that camp, Lord God. I pray for freedom on that camp, Lord Jesus. I pray for lives that are transformed on that camp, Lord Jesus. For young people, Lord God, coming to know you, Lord, as their Lord and their Savior, Lord. We bless you, Lord. In the Bible that says he'll come to us like a spring rain. And just that idea of rain falling on the desert and bringing new life to the desert. So Lord, we pray for new rain, Lord God, on this city, Lord. Let it rain on this city, Lord God. Let your Spirit come like rain, Lord God. Drench this place, Lord God. We're going to have prayer ministry up the front. If anybody would like some prayer for anything, it doesn't matter. Prayer is not just for those who are going through rough times. If you want prayer, come up. It's here. We've got some great people on the prayer ministry team who'd love to pray with you. We have tea and coffee at the back, so please feel free to hang around after church. So this is the official end of our service. So go this week. Be blessed. Be blessed this week. And remember that you are co-laborers and ambassadors. Amen.
Are you going to get a dog when you leave home? Are you?